a year ago that has the same topic at heart, ironically, or maybe not so ironically. It's about love and spirituality. It was a show that Kat Chapman, when she was co-hosting Love in the 21st Century, and Sierra Ona Sisk was on, and where we were talking about love and spirituality. So stay tuned for that full captivating hour, and feel free to call in and ask questions. I'll do my best to segue it into the show and either get you on the air or respond to whatever question you may present while you're listening. Again, the number is 895-1114. Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by A1 Brake and Alignment, specialists with over 20 years of experience in automotive care. A1 Brake and Alignment services all makes and models of cars, trucks, and off-road vehicles in all forms of automotive maintenance and repair, including air conditioning. A1 Brake and Alignment is located at 824 Nord Avenue and can be reached at 894-1149. Thank you for tuning in to Love in the 21st Century. Always a pleasure to be listening and talking with you all. Here we are, Love in the 21st Century, playing a show from last year, May 31st, so just a day off. Again, Love and Spirituality, Kat Chapman, Sierra Ona, and myself.
Good afternoon. This is Love in the 21st Century. This is Kat in the studio with Tamra.
Hello.
And we're joined here by Sierra Ona Sisk.
Hello.
We're here to open up our series with Love in the 21st Century about love and spirituality. So I thought we three ladies could have a nice conversation. And if those of you listening would like to join in at any time, feel free to give us a ring at 530-895-1114. It's really hoping to open up discussion today about our spiritual practices. Sierra and I actually having a conversation earlier just talking about how hungry we all are these days for authenticity. And I think it's a time of integration and reevaluating our practices and some of our habits of the past. And so we're all kind of finding our ways these days and how to be spiritual. So I thought maybe to start off, we could share some elements about ourselves and our spiritual practices. If any of you gals want to share.
Who will chime in first? Do you want to go ahead and chime in?
Sure, I can chime in.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Sierra. You know, it's interesting. I never really think about or talk about, like, oh, I have this spiritual practice. But in this context and in this moment, to really claim the spiritual practice of life, recently was talking with somebody, and I had asked them to come help me work on my land. And they asked me if they were coming for a ceremony. And I was like, well, no, but yes, actually, because life is a ceremony. The ceremony of breaking bread, of working together, of sharing life in this way, and that piece of authenticity. So for me, the practice has been walking on the path of the service of unconditional love, which, again and again, is a humbling practice to realize how much we have to face our own obstacles to practice the practice of unconditional love in order to continue walking the path. So for me, that comes in different forms. I work with an indigenous healer from Peru that is really holding that work, that vibration, as a practice, and I've been apprenticing with him for the last 5 years. And so that's been part of my spiritual practice, to learn how to actually live and breathe and talk and show up to everyone who comes across my path with unconditional love, which is a practice. Mm-hmm. And that's the real, like, essence of the spiritual practice that I will claim as my practice at this time.
So beautiful. Yeah, spirituality, it's really complex topic and complex part of life to really consider. And thinking about my own life and what you're sharing, Sierra, about viewing our life in a more reverent way or in a ceremonious way all the time, because really everything we're doing is in a way either honoring something that we want or dishonoring something we're trying to get rid of. So I think for me, I go back and I think about the way that I was raised, and I was raised Catholic, and so that had a really lasting impression upon me in my life and learning how to shape and form my own spiritual perspective. And Kat, something that you said really hit the nail on the head for me, and that was the integration component. I was having a conversation earlier about this, where there's different ceremonious practices, meditations, and kind of intentional groups that I'm a part of. And for as much as that is a part of my life, it's that piece that really weaves it into my everyday life that really is the part that brings it home. Is it really going to be that impactful if I do not choose it in each moment that something arises? Like, yeah, it's one thing to pray for forgiveness and gratitude and the blessings that we have in life, and then it's another to, in those, when those challenges are faced upon us, to see those things as blessings and lessons in life. So that's sort of my key component, I feel like, in my life practice, is seeing my wallowing sorrow as much as my joy as a part of integration for me, and seeing where it's all taking me instead of, you know, only wanting the good sort of new agey spirituality, everything's good and love, and if it's not, then something's wrong sort of way.
Yeah, I definitely mirror that. I feel like it's I think we get a little confused sometimes, I think, in how our minds have been trained just how to think. And I think we're exploring, like, in this time of integration, how to look at all of our life in a new way, and that there are some older stories that maybe we've forgotten about, or, like, stories, you know, you talk about being raised Catholic. You know, I had a Christian background, not super strong, but I did go through, like, a lot of guilt at one point in my life, like, growing up in, like, middle school, high school, I was so ashamed for not being baptized. And, I mean, my mom was always, like, a really strong, strong believer in Jesus and in love, and that Jesus has been a really huge teacher in her life and in mine as well, because she passed down these amazing teachings. But the seed for me was always about love. And when we have a practice, I think it is for those moments when it is the hardest. And so for me, it was coming into my own spiritual practice has been a journey of having to shed things that might not have resonated completely with me, and then choosing the language that I most understood. And because I feel like that we all have access to it, but we're each unique, and so different elements are going to speak differently to different people, and finding what works for each person. And but yeah, I think it sounds like the key, the seed in all of it is really that walking the path of unconditional love and staying on the path of unconditional love. And we all have these different ways of helping us along that journey. But that's really, however we get there, I think that's the point. That's the practice. And I think we all have some interesting ones. Like, Sierra, I know I've done some ceremonies with you, and I know that there's a lot of things going on here, even just in Chico, that people might not be aware of. Would you like to share any of some of the practices that you've been involved with lately?
Yeah, absolutely. So besides my personal professional practice, which is Embody Alchemy, and I am working with somatic integration, really, for people to integrate that which they're experiencing or which they have experienced into their physical body also. And I So, like, my primary practice is a practice of working with people, facilitating their transformation, their self-transformation, which is an amazing spiritual practice for me personally, because I am in, like, the meditation, really, of how to channel that clear, unconditional love energy so that people can really move and transform with what it is they're experiencing. And I was just thinking about the word integration was oftentimes is used, and recently somebody used the word incorporation. Mm. And I was like, interesting, because we don't often use that word, but it's like to bring it into the body. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big part of the practice for me, is bringing the work into the breathing moment, like Tamara, like you said, like, mm-hmm, it's the moment to moment. And so one of the other practices that's really helped me to bring myself into the moment is the work with the Sweat Lodge. So recently, in the last 3 years, I've been hosting Sweat Lodge ceremony, traditional Native American Sweat Lodge ceremony on our land in Butte Creek Canyon. A dear friend and collaborator of mine, Erica Gagnon, comes up from the Bay Area, and she's carrying a really amazing, an amazing tradition that is also very much of the times, I feel, with her, the incorporation of both the masculine and feminine in a really good balance. But for me, particularly, not only to hold that space for people to join in Sweat Lodge, to be in the womb of Mother Earth, to pray, to get closer to our connection with the earth, which I think is a huge part of the greater scope of my spiritual practice, is that I've kept fire for the lodge. That's been my part of my participation besides organizing. And it's been an amazing, amazing teaching of really how to be listening and how to quiet oneself so that you're hearing that which is coming from the wind, from the earth, from all the elements, to bring that ceremony into its full flowering. So that's an opportunity that I offer, but it's also been a practice for me. In addition, you know, twice a year I'm hosting Don Victor Estrada, who comes from Peru, and we do work here. It's all work about harmonizing the three bodies, the physical, the psychological, emotional, and the spiritual body. So a lot of the work of unconditional love comes through that practice, which comes in multiple practices that he shares, but the overarching theme is really how do we live moment to moment in the practice of unconditional love for ourselves primarily, so that we can share that then and be the light that we want to be in the world. And the two other key components of that, which you touched on actually, are the practice of gratitude and forgiveness, for all the lessons, everything that brings us to the moment that we're in. And I have a little story from today, actually, that somebody shared with me about forgiveness or about gratitude, both of them, actually, which was a gentleman who had started this amazing project in Russia where he takes orphans that have kind of like gone through the process of being orphans, but now they're coming to adulthood, and he helps them, you know, kind of come into their lives, jobs, and just plug into the community because they've kind of been disconnected, never really had families. Turns out that he was actually abandoned at birth. His mother put him in a dumpster outside of the hospital.
Wow.
When he was born. And to go back and say, this person would probably never be doing this work that he's doing, which is this amazing work, had he not had that experience. And how do we actually, with unconditional love, show up to the most painful experiences that we've had, mm-hmm, and say, wow, thank you so much for teaching me in such a painful way so that I could be right here where I am right now to share what I have learned. And so that's really the practice, right? Because unconditional love isn't just like, oh, beautiful new age, I love it, everything. It's like showing up to the hardest moments with an open heart and being able to transform that pain into the light that we want to share. So the essence of the practices all come to that point, and there's lots of, you know, various ways that it shows up, but generally I'm holding that space here in the community.
That's great. And I can speak for myself that I have participated in these ceremonies, and they are a lot of fun. And then talk about that somatic awareness. Like, I think these practices, whether that be yoga or sweat lodge, or even just our personal, like, exercising and even just the breath, you know, I feel like that's one of the most key, that's just one of the most basic fundamental practices that we have in this body, is just attention to the breath. But it brings it into our body. It brings that awareness into our physical being, because it's happening live, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. You know, and when you talk about that, like, reminds me of a couple things. Like, there's the man that started Aikido, you know, I think my friend had shared with me this story about that there, one of his students had come and said, you know, I'm not feeling well today, so, is you know, I'm not going to be able to show up to practice, you know, to come practice today. And he says, well, you know, if you want Aikido to work for you only when you're feeling well, then only come when you're feeling well. But if you want it to work for you when you're not feeling well, then come and practice when you're not feeling well. And I think it's that moment where we, yeah, full integration, like, all the time. And I know I did this Vipassana retreat. I've only participated in one full 10-day sit, but I got some really great elements from that meditation practice. And there's the concept of anicca, in that you're going to be sitting and observing these sensations in our bodies, which, again, happen live, like, in the moment when we're upset or when we're in a blissful state, but not to push them away or hold them dear, and just to be in this place of detachment in a healthy way. Not like rejection, but just, you know, being unattached. And with this anicca, it's like it keeps that flow open of, like, letting it come. And I think I've recognized that a part of that with the gratitude and the forgiveness is a trust, like this central trust. And I think there's, like, this trust in that love, and, like, trust in, you know, if we get on this path of unconditional love and choosing to be in practice, that yeah, we can trust in whatever we call it. You know, I call it sometimes, like, the big everything. Or I've been really on this Kuan Yin kick lately. She's one of my main deities, this deity of compassion. She reached enlightenment and decided to stay tied to the earth for as long as it takes for everyone to be enlightened. And I love that that sentiment. And she went through her own painful journey, you know, in these stories. So to get to that place of unconditional love. So yeah, just always in the moment, trusting that, like, this is happening. And I don't know about that always happening for a reason. You know, I think people say that, and that gets into, like, the woo-woo thing where we can sometimes be averted to that. And it's what's happening. So I think whatever it is, like, that, for me, that's how I interpret it. It's what is. And so in that what is, like, we can choose to accept it and not be averted to it. But yeah, I love the sweat lodge, and I love the yoga. And I know that there's some other great practices in town. I don't know, Tamara, do you have anything that you feel like are some... any practices that you physically embody to help you on this path to unconditional love?
Good questions. I think that there's many practices out there, some that I've tried and some that have stayed with me. Personally, slowing down is a big practice of mine and has been for the last few years. I'm definitely, like, a very advantageous go-getter type of person. And so consciously deciding to sit with myself and to sit with my thoughts and to not act too quickly. I think of a quote by the Dalai Lama that says, think critically and then act. And so that is really something that I attempt to embody more, because I'm definitely a very active seeker. Being in nature, really just taking time away from technology, away from people, and just being amongst natural living cycles. I think, obviously, as humans, we are natural living cycles, but we often are so detached from that because we are trying so much to live in a technological world. I was just inspired by the conversation to pull up this poem by Wendell Berry. It's The Peace of the Wild Things, and sort of embodies how I feel about nature. So it's, when despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests, it's in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come to the peace of the wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and so for me, it's that for a moment, I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm not thinking about what if and what does that mean, and the attached meaning of all the things that are going on in my mind, which, just thinking about some of the conversations I was having earlier, and it's like almost like the idea of fear or anxiety or grief will come barging into my mind, and I'm already on this, like, train of what if and analyzations and attaching meanings, that slowing down and stopping and being like, okay, wait, questioning the meaning, questioning myself mm-hmm. and the thoughts, and like, where do these thoughts come from? Where did they originate? Do they really warrant what I'm considering truth in this moment, and that I'm now forming and creating my story around? And is it really fair to the other person that I'm having this conversation with? And so that really key component for myself of slowing down and just being present to me and having compassion with myself in that process is some of the, you know, hardest time-consuming work I've ever done.
Totally.
It's almost so much easier to put a radio show together or to organize a bunch of people to come to any sort of gathering, but to really sit with myself and be present in those challenging places, like you said, Sierra, it's the work that I'm personally doing, and invite others to do it themselves.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
When I was hearing you speak, I came to my mind is this is a couple words that have been resonating. One is remembering, mm-hmm. and that is like to remember, right? But to remember, to like put something back together,
mm-hmm.
and also repair.
Mm-hmm.
These themes around how we actually bring ourselves back into wholeness, mm-hmm. which has something to do with listening to nature, because there's a wholeness inherent in the natural system that if we just take some time out,
mm-hmm.
there's wisdom that comes, whether it's listening to the plants or just being in the sun or being with the water. The elements have so much to teach us, but in particular this piece about where we've believed that our mind and our heart are disconnected, that there's two separate beings or organisms or parts of us,
mm-hmm.
and this how to repair this unity, which is this one organ, mm-hmm. the heart mind,
mm-hmm.
and there are many cultures around the world that see that the heart mind as a unity. And so there's an indigenous wisdom and a kind of a wisdom of remembering, mm-hmm. to come back to that. And in this Western world, I think we're so caught up in trying to analyze things and understand things, even of a spiritual nature, that we forget to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that slowing down, that ability just to put your feet on the earth, to like to be with your breath,
mm-hmm.
which no matter what we do and all the teachings, like ultimately the breath is what everyone has with them in every moment. And
right.
it's an amazingly transformative practice,
mm-hmm.
to just actually breathe, like really breathe,
right.
and let ourselves exhale that which is painful or discordant in the moment, like
mm-hmm.
that anxiety, that moment of like stress or whatever it is. To take enough time to just breathe is like a pause in and of itself. And so just feeling that so much of the work of spirituality in these times is remembering and repairing this knowing of connection, of working together and really sharing what we see, like this show, so amazing, what a gift to have an opportunity just to share these insights, to have
Absolutely.
A forum for sharing, which is part of the repair work.
Absolutely.
As I see it. So I'm really grateful to be here with you both and to feel that in action in this mm-hmm. moment.
That was one of the things I was going to mention. This show to me is a spiritual practice.
Totally.
Sometimes I come in here like, I don't even know what I'm about to do here for the next hour. I mean, I exaggerate. I usually know what I'm going to talk about, but just like in that presence of everyday life, it's like that go, go, go mentality of working and being in the world. And then by the end of it, it's like a yoga practice. It's just like it's totally shifted my perspective, my consciousness for that moment. And so in this practice of being on the radio and sharing with people and just broadening the conversation about love really comes from just, you know, a true place in my heart of questioning and wanting to share in that beautiful space that, you know, and loving compassion with other people, and just not necessarily know anything more than the average person in my perspective, but to be able to provide a forum. So this is definitely a part of that spiritual practice for me.
Yeah.
There's a couple other that are coming to mind. There is Rise Yoga that I attend. A good friend, Meg Moore, she hosts a yoga class on Wednesday mornings. And her classes are just such an embodiment of like a true yoga practice for me, where we start with a meditation and she reads to us, and then we do the asanas, and with the asanas are mantras. So she's went to the yoga school in Nevada City. I can't remember the name of it now, but they're very into doing the mantras with the postures, which I just really feel really have a deep connection for me, and to meditate on those as I'm moving through those. So I highly suggest Megha Moore's yoga class on Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock. That's at Rise Yoga. And then the other was something that brought me, so I started with my youth growing up in Catholicism, but what really brought me to spirituality and sort of showed me another side of understanding a spiritual perspective that wasn't as dogmatic and helped me to actually understand the Catholic Church better was energy practices. So I actually, in this studio in KZFR, when it used to be the Stonewall Alliance building, there was a group called Earth Haven that met here. Sierra's shaking her head. She knows what I'm talking about. That did Berkeley Psychic Institute models of energy balancings. And so I started doing that practice when I was 18, and it radically changed my life. I mean, not obviously overnight. It was something that I did for many years and learned how to do for myself and other people. And it's all about bringing your chakras back into alignment and how your different chakras have a different emphasis in different areas of your life, and just really inviting me into understanding the energy fields in my body and seeing how I could control them and seeing how I could stay in my own space and ground myself. And it was something I could feel. That was like, for as much as like there's a lot of things that people just are, you know, and they just don't get it. For me, the reason it worked so well was I could feel it.
Yeah.
There was no question about that something was going on. And it opened me up to these other spiritual practices that I eventually decided to pursue, but all because I started with, you know, with that. And they still do it. So they actually meet, I believe, at the First Congregational Church on Palmetto, I think that is. And it's on Wednesday evenings with Gail Kimball. You can just look up Gail Kimball online. She still hosts those. And it's a free energy clinic. And the actual healing takes about 10 to 20, 30 minutes, depending on, you know, what's going on in the session. But definitely something amazing to try out, I think, at least once.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's where it started for me in some ways. I mean, in the sense of, as a young adult, I went to the Avalon Institute, which was also Berkeley Psychic Institute-based practices, and did their year-long clairvoyant training program to really learn how to manage my ability also to feel and see and perceive energy. Mm-hmm. And so that's, everybody has those skills, and we just don't often know how to like manage them. And I think for some people that becomes a discomfort in their life to be like impacted by the energies they encounter, and how do you actually have a real feeling for how to manage your practice. So that's a great thing that you brought that up.
Yeah, and I think that's so much of what's going on, and part of why it is challenging these days, you know, talking about love in the 21st century, spirituality in the 21st century, that I don't feel like there has been a lot of support for that energetic knowing. You know, like we live in this kind of, I think, I feel like an imbalanced mind, like you talk about, Sierra. I love that, like the heart mind as this one entity, you know, and these, like, I feel that, you know, I say like masculine, feminine, or sometimes that even feels too charged, because I don't mean male, female. I just mean like yin yang, like light, dark, like, and I feel like we're out of balance in this time. And I think, but that's what's happening. I feel this reawakening of people actually validating those experiences, as when, like Tamara, when you said you just felt it, you know, like bringing it from the head, like down into the body, and our bodies, you know, I think recognizing that our bodies are these knowing creatures to be, you know, like I had this, I've been working with these cards lately, this woman, Alana Fairchild, she's from Australia. I just feel like there's some really activated humans down under, but she has these cards called Wild Kuan Yin cards, and I've been really loving them lately, and she has these practices at there, these healings at the end, and there was this one about just the body, and she was talking about, and this other one, she has a Sacred Rebel cards too. I'm just really into her. It's just like all this like wild feminine archetype energy moving through, and I feel like that's happening with men and women. Like we're all awakening that part of ourselves that recognizes energy as being real and valid, and like recognizing the body. And she sort of had this. I was in the bathtub. And it was the full moon in Sagittarius, and I'm like reading these cards and having this like moon download, and there's a skylight above me, and I'm in the bath, and it was just this like witchy moment.
And I had this download, this vision about Sagittarius, which is the Centaur. And but through this card, Alana Fairchild was talking about, you know, your body being this animal that was gifted to you, you know, to move you through this life, like to move your spirit and your mind. And that's when I thought I saw, like, you know, the man horse. Like, I was like, it's Sagittarius, you know, like that's, you know, like I just saw this like overlap of when we awaken inside of our bodies, when our minds and our bodies are united and our heart like guides us through that understanding. And I think that's, you know, in yoga, I really appreciate, you know, like with the sound and the intention with the sound as well, like Tamara talking about the mantras and these positions. And I know Sierra with Don Victor, there's a lot of moving sound through the body in these times of when we like connect the mind into the body. And I just feel like that is what the balance looks like. I think we're finding out.
There's a lot of you know, the mind and this way that thought moves, but really to be able to feel there, we have to like tune into vibration. Mm-hmm. And sound is an amazing tool, as well as the breath, because it's actually, it shifts the vibration in the body. And I think to be able to use practices like the Berkeley Psychic Institute practices to like actually start to put attention to what sensations we're having also, mm-hmm. to see how we're responding to our experience, mm-hmm. to not just be focused outward,
right.
and what out there can make us feel better, change mm-hmm. our biochemistry to make us feel better,
right.
and not necessarily really make us feel better, but just because we don't know how to deal with, to come and sit with what it is that mm-hmm. we're really experiencing, mm-hmm. That balance point of activity, of connection, with also like real listening. Mm-hmm. And I am thinking also of one other new sort of movement that's coming into practice here in Chico and the greater Chico area, which is the Way of the Council.
Mm.
And I recently just attended a Way of the Council training, and it was an amazing practice of remembering authenticity and community. And also this, a big part of the practice for me is really unveiling and being in vulnerable communication with those around me, and that as a practice of actual leadership from within the community, from within the circle, mm-hmm. as a way to remember and repair the ways of interacting that have been based in hierarchy, because I believe in my experience and my observation that style of interaction has a lot of cutting energy and disconnects, and a lot of people are feeling really disconnected in this time,
mm-hmm.
and really upset by all the things that are happening. So how do we remember how to lead from within the circle, mm-hmm. and to always be mindful of what it is we're doing? Is it in alignment with our best good, our best service to ourselves, and then also the service to our present like circumstances or community, and then like the higher purpose, the spiritual mm-hmm. aspect, so that we can be in alignment with ourselves and community, because that's where the connection starts to come back. So it's a really, really beautiful practice, and I encourage people to look it up, to look into it, to find out where the council practices are happening. I'm part of a greater group of people that are starting to practice facilitating council in Chico, and I'm excited to share that more with more people, because it's authenticity. It's an opportunity and a safe space to be in authenticity and vulnerability, which is a huge part of entering the unconditional love practice.
Indeed. I was a part of the council training in October that happened, and I know that Malama is hosting a council for the grieving at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. It's once a month, and I want to say it's the second or the third Monday of the month. I'm sure you could check out the Chico Peace and Justice Center and get more information. And it's amazing. It's not necessarily for any particular style or way of grieving. It's just for grief in general, that there's a lot of pain that we're all grieving from in many different areas of our life, loved one, relationship, culture, work, that isn't being expressed, because in our society we don't really make space. In our American culture, we don't make space for grieving and pain and sadness. And so some of what's coming up for me in this conversation, we're talking about spirituality and being present to vulnerability and being present to suffering, or present to a deeper knowing, is just the compassion of where you're at, and that it's okay to struggle with it, and it's okay to not feel attracted to the idea, because it sounds like a lot of work. It's okay to be in all those places, because because at first there's a big learning curve to like learn how to create that space, even for people that want to create that mm-hmm. space in their life, that to how to be present to something that's really challenging. It's like it's so much easier to just I don't want to talk about it now, I don't want to think about it now, it's gonna go, whether that's like changing your biochemistry through taking something in, or just, you know, doing something different, you know, so that you don't have to really sit with that pain. It's going to be there, you know, whether or not you decide to attend to it now or later. So just having compassion with yourself about making time for that and finding people that want to make that time as well with you. Because when you're going through challenging things and you're in partnership or you're with your family or you're with friends, that's just a part of everything that we do. And it's so interesting for me, you know, I think, man, like 90% of my conversations, work included, is around these emotional bodies that we have mm-hmm. and emotional experiences, and how much, though, at that same time, a lot of it is like first fueled by that desire to escape it, not necessarily to be present to it. It's like, I just want to talk about it enough to get away from it. And then I want to talk about something else. And so I just want to mention briefly something that we both have been touching on about the breath and thinking about my own practice with that and noticing like what happens to my breathing when I start to get agitated or start to get frustrated. I stop breathing. Like I literally hold my breath. And how it's, you have to really practice bringing your consciousness to it to shift it, but then how it doesn't just like shift, you know, in the first like few breaths. So you got to sit with it for a minute. And again, that's the whole thing of like creating space for it. So yeah, just compassion, like what you were bringing up too, just compassion for yourself and the process of wherever you are. It's like, it's okay. It is what is. So if we can just start with that place of being okay with what's going on without having to try to change it, and having compassion for ourselves, and I feel like we're moving in the right path.
Yeah, I think it's, and that's, I feel like that's like what in the Vipassana, like it's just like this anicca, like it's just a sensation, you mm-hmm. know? And like, remember one time, like talking to a friend, I'm like, it might be weird. Like there was like his ex-girlfriend was going to be there, and you know, and he was just like, I'm not averted to weird. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not opposed to weird. And I loved it. I was like, yeah, let's get weird. Let's get awkward, you know? And I think we can just, this is an opportunity to just tell new stories. I feel like so many of our reactions are these automatic trained reactions and how to feel about things. Mm-hmm. And that we've just been told some of these stories that, like you said earlier, Tamara, like just observing our thoughts, like, is that, do I agree with where that thought is coming from? Right. Like, you know, just because I found, you know, I think that's like the whole onion thing, you know, it's like I keep peeling back like conditioning and layers of, you know, places where I got hurt along the path. And so then I, you know, that energy comes up again and I react and I'm afraid. And then just, you know, slowly, gently, with love, with patience, with awareness, you know, telling myself it's all right. Mm-hmm. And then allowing other people to reflect that to me. You know, I think that is part of like with my spirituality, I feel like I like, again, like the big everything. And I feel like I, through nature and through life and through all my interactions, all my reflections, whether they're humans or animals or trees or streams, that they're all symbolic reality coming to me to reflect learning, like to teachings and to be present with it. And like talking about, you know, this fear, and like we, you know, we talked about the shadow and a show before with you and I, Tamara, and I had this moment recently, like talk about like somatic experience. Like I've been working on this house, preparing it to paint, and these people have waited for a long time, like years past when this thing should have gotten painted, and now we're like going to do it. And it's been this insane job where it's like stucco wall, huge wall, like having to chip off all of this paint, because the thing is, it's like this new paint isn't going to stick with all this flake, you know, if the paint's flaking off, then we're going to put a fresh coat of paint on it. It's just going to fall right off of there and be patchy. So it's like, okay, if we're going to get to this next place. And I felt that so much with
myself and like these places. I feel like lately, especially just working with the places where I've stored pain and stored experience, because like I think you're right, Tamara, our first reaction is to get away from it, you know, rather than really look and understand. And I think that is part of the imbalance of how we look at our minds and our bodies and our emotional selves and be like, wow, it's hurting because it needs awareness. It's hurting because it's trying to tell us something. Mm-hmm. And it's creating a sensation to draw attention. And so here, it's like this, gosh, chipping away this paint. It's been crazy. And I was thinking about, you know, being in nature and like doing the body practices, whether it's yoga or sweat lodge, and these moments where we do come up against, you know, discomfort and what that does for our mind, you know, and being in the practice of chipping off this paint off the wall. It's like, wow, this is like my Zen practice right now. Like, I got so many just, like, I felt like so much understanding came through, but it was through the act of doing it. It wasn't just standing there and conceptualizing it. It was through doing it. It was hours and hours and getting frustrated and finding the breath and then finding, you know, working through the energy, getting enraged and, just trusting the whole process and not being afraid of it getting hard I think it's time to tell some new stories.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just thinking of this piece about leaning in, like how do we lean in to the sensation of what it is that's coming, and in that moment, like actually reframing how we perceive our pain and our stored energy or like our fears or things that arise, that in the moment that they're arising, it's like, wow, thank you so much for coming again so that I can let you go.
Right.
To have that moment where you can really shine that compassion and that gratitude and that forgiveness. And somebody just was like, forgiveness, thank you for giving me the opportunity to learn something. And I have a choice in each moment with the breath, with the vibration, with my intention to say, this is a new moment. I want to live life here in a different way. And yet this piece of me that's coming from the past can come as a gift, an opportunity to be in that practice and actually transform my experience. Because we can continue to choose to hold on to it, to keep saying the same story to ourselves. We always have choice.
Right.
And that the past doesn't exist. The past it doesn't exist anymore. It happened already. Mm-hmm. So the present really is all we have in order to make that choice. And I think that leaning into the sensation so you can really touch it enough to give it that gratitude, to really say, oh, hey, this is a way I used to feel all the time, or I remember this feeling from way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking earlier that one of the other practices that had been really influential in my life was a practice called the Presence Process.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a book that can be bought. I'm not remembering the author, but it's easy to find. And it's a 10-week process of really working with the breath and working with those triggers that happen in day-to-day life with love, with partners, with friends, with family, that bring up those kind of stored experiences, actually. And then instead of just wanting to run away from them, to lean in and use the breath to say, oh, that's an experience from the past that I have an opportunity now to clear through a practice of breathing. It's very simple and yet super potent in claiming also our power to transform our experience and to not just continue to recreate the old story in again and again in our experiences in our present life with the people that we are interacting with.
Right.
So that was very influential and pivotal at a moment in my life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of an experience that I had earlier, and it's something that I tend to do when I have challenging experiences in my life is that I want to sort of control them, like very just like encapsulate them and like have my emotional response the way that I have my emotional response and then let it be, and like not necessarily always go to the root. It was definitely much more I practiced before to like really seek out like the end, but it was also something that I had time to do when I was by myself. And when I'm in a challenging situation with somebody else, it's not always the easiest thing to like take time to try to go to the root. And what I found in my experience today is that I really had to listen to the whole story that I was telling myself in order to see where that story didn't make sense anymore, where that story came from, and to identify what trigger was attached to the story. Because if I would have done what I always do, which is to either like control or avoid that pain for that moment because I don't have time for it in that moment, then it's not going to serve me to really get to the new story because I wasn't able to completely detach until I fully went through that experience. I fully was feeling this really intense emotion and I did not want to be. Right. But I was like, okay, this is what's happening and it keeps coming. And then at the end of it, it was like, oh, this thing is attached to this deep wound that I have.
Right.
And every time this thing comes up, it touches on that. And so I need to detach those things and realize that those are not synonymous. And for me, in order to heal, I need to, you know, work on loving myself and not just listening to the tape that goes, oh, here's the example that you were looking for to tell you that that wound was real. It's mm-hmm. like I needed to really listen through it all the way through, which is sometimes a really challenging thing to do because we want to just, you know, get on with it and move on and have, you know, return to our joyous times. And that's not, you know, if looking at life and the practice that it's all ceremony and it's all meant to be honored and to have gratitude for, then even in those times, you know, it's really hard to get there, but that's where we got to be.
That's why they call it practice.
Yes,
totally.
Yes.
Well, and that's when you're saying that, it makes me think about this house again of like, you know, I don't want to deal with it. I don't. So there's like these layers of paint that we're chipping off where like someone didn't take the time to prime it and to prepare it. And, you know, so there's like all of this are like, we're down to the yellow layer underneath the blue layer and underneath, you know, it's like, you know, I don't want to deal with it. I don't have time. So I'm just going to slap this up here and it's going to look fine for now. But then again, inevitably it's right. this and it gets harder and harder and harder. So right. like, okay, I've detached myself from that one experience that gives me that trigger, but then I'm just going to attract another experience that gives me that trigger because it is a deep wound. And I've found like so many of these things for myself, like tracing them upstream, like some of it I feel like it's even from like my womb time, you know, and things my mother was going through, and like this is in our genetics and it's in like when our and I've, you know, some people I feel like we're carrying weight for other people and we're all connected on the planet and it's a heavy time right now, you know. There are unprecedented amount of people like in, you know, displaced from their homes with war and climate change, and like things are getting hot, the heat's getting hot out there, and so I just feel like, yeah, we need to do the work because that's why I keep going. Is like you were talking, Tamara, I was thinking about like, yeah, it just keeps coming. So at some point it's like there's never a good time, you know, there's never a convenient time, but if we don't take the time, right. then it won't heal and it'll just keep coming. And even like I think about, there's been a lot of talk about sleep lately, you know, like I think a part of what we keep bringing up and it's like it's about listening and it's about rest and there's about this space to receive. And you know, I think Arianna Huffington kind of got the ball rolling in a like a broader conversation, but just talking about how important sleep is, and again that rest and restoration time of like to for our bodies like repair and restore and be able to go on. Like when we're in this go place, we don't incorporate things. We don't remember to breathe. We don't, mm-hmm. you know, be in our practice. And even today, it was funny with the Facebook. I spent an hour on Facebook trying to put a picture with this. I put a post on Love in the 21st Century, which, by the way, if you want to drop in on the conversation, you feel free to join us online. And I was trying to put a picture up there, and it wouldn't do it. It just wouldn't do it. And then I made a little comment. I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm learning how to love in the 21st century, but clearly I don't have the tool. Like, I don't know how to use a computer. But I'm telling Sierra about this, and she's like, well, you know, maybe that is how we love in the 21st century. And we were talking earlier.
Is we let go of our technology a little bit.
We step away a little bit.
That was what came to my mind in that moment.
Totally.
Which is funny, because I think that's a piece that I feel like is important to bring in, is even with all of this, that those things that come, that we don't have to understand them. And I think this is the part of where we get stuck sometimes in our modern world, is that we try so hard to analyze and understand every piece of trauma and experience that we have that's been negative or discordant. And sometimes we need to just lean into the sensation and work with the breath and vibration and move our bodies and go out in nature and not try to understand it and think it apart. Mm-hmm. Because it's not all about that. And in order to repair the mind and the heart, we have to just take something sometimes that comes from the mind and then run it through the heart so that we're feeling into the sensations. And so that's so much why the somatic practices and the breathing practices and the part about really like touching down to the earth in different ways, whether it's yoga or whether it's Qigong or whether it's a sweat lodge practice, a prayer practice, a movement practice of dance or dance church or whatever it is that brings people into a place where they can move things through their body without having to understand them. Mm-hmm. Because we've been taught that we have to understand everything, and if we don't understand it, then we can't actually release it, and it's a false notion. Energy moves most of the time without us knowing what's going on.
Totally. And to not feel, I feel like for myself, if I don't know, I feel stupid. I feel like something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was a part of something mm-hmm. in my kind of earlier conditioning, and I wanted to be a good student, and I wanted to know all the things, and part of that education process as well. I was listening to, I've been on a podcast kick lately, and one that I've been really enjoying is this one called Rewild Yourself, and you know, this I don't remember his name, but Rewild Yourself is great, and he brings in people and talks about, you know, how to, you know, untangle ourselves from some of these habits and that we've taken in with technology and urbanization and things and lost part of our kind of raw wild humanness. And I've just lost it.
We'll just lose it.
But I don't have to know why.
We can just play in the moment, because it's all about improvisation and play also. We don't have to like always know what's next in that way. And in this moment that like it just kind of it disappears because now we're here to say it's time to play too. We forget. We get so serious with all the hard things that are going on in the world that we forget to play with our children enough, or we forget to play with our animals enough, or just like be joyful that there's a rainbow or like, right. I mean, it sounds really cheesy, but the truth is like those moments of just letting the joy in.
Yes.
Is like this love piece that is totally. All around us. It's not like something, like the path of unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Like that's somehow like some worn path somewhere. It's really just tuning into what is, because Amen. The universe is full of it. The
totally.
Earth is full of it. The plants are full of it. And we are, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the connections with each other and playing, having fun.
Yeah. And we can change the perspective. Like when I think about like the present moment, you're talking about like the past is in the past, you know, and all we have is this present moment. But I see that the present moment is what affects the future, and the past is what affects the present moment. And then, but I've thought too that when we look to the past and we heal those moments and we have that forgiveness, we actually change it. You know, it's like we change the story. Like this thing could have happened, and it is what is. But how it is a completely different feeling. And so I think we do have this, like the past is set in what happened, but how we feel about what happened is up to us, and that's
Absolutely.
How it's what changes what we do in the next moment.
Mm.
So yeah, just I guess, you know, with the last little bits here of the show, I feel like sometimes, especially with women, and maybe that's just I'm really into drawing on the communion of women lately, but just with each other, you know, like I was doing a little biblionancy to yesterday with a Thich Nhat Hanh. Living Christ, living Buddha, and I just saw this, you know, reminder of the three jewels of Buddhism, which I, you know, Buddhism. I don't know that I follow any one thing deeply, but I draw a lot of inspiration from Buddhism. And the three jewels, it's the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And so the Buddha, you know, shows you the way, and the Dharma is the path. Like it shows you the path, and then the Dharma is the path and the practice, and then the Sangha is your community that you practice with and that are there. You know, like I forgot what I was going to say, and Sierra was right there to just swoop in and take it to the next place. And we need to keep that flow open. And so I just feel that in these times. I don't know if you guys have any last sentiments, just while we have this awesome opportunity to stream our voices. For people out there finding their ways and finding their connections right now on the earth.
Keep it real and reach out, connect.
Absolutely.
Connect. I think that's the big thing. We have a lot of people here in the community that are wanting connection. So
absolutely. This is surely a very potent hour of very intriguing conversation around spirituality. I think one thing that I am going to take home from this, and I invite anyone that's listening to do the same, is to choose something positive to say to yourself once a day. And in the mornings is a great time to say it. I'm sure many of you have read and already know this, that what we say to ourselves and positive thinking, it has an influence on how we show up in the world and show up for ourselves. So, you know, it can be something very simple. It can be like, I love myself. But just saying that to yourself once a week and see, or I'm sorry, not once a week, once a day, and see where that takes you.
Yeah. You know, I want to, I just feel like I want to share this little blip. There's this New Year's meditation that I went to in Kansas City years ago, and there's a healthy gospel community in Kansas City, and there was this just big, beautiful woman named Queen Mother, this gospel singer that came in for this meditation, and she was wearing all purple and a purple hat, and she shared this with us, and it's just something I carry with me. And she said, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and then all those around can warm up to its glowing. The same is true for God's love. And once you experience this, you want to spread this love to everyone. You want to pass it on. So just encouraging everyone out there, yeah, to keep passing, amen, it on. Yeah, amen. She's like, hallelujah. She's like, can I get a hallelujah? We're like, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for Ecotopia coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm going to leave you with a little ditty. When we're thinking about divine flow, remember to trust. Thanks for tuning in.
Durst here to say, forget the almanac and the calendar and the astrology charts or whatever the weatherman and the neighbor over the fence with the hair growing out of a mole on his nose shaped like the state of Delaware told you. The true wormhole opening to summer is not the solstice on the 21st day of June. It's the fourth Monday of May, Memorial Day. Officially carved out as a peaceful respite, to lay a wreath at the tomb of all the young men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice for the security of our nation, not to mention the multitude of valiant drivers tragically lost in automobile races. Unofficially, it's a time for the whole of America to stop and catch our breath. Summer? Already? How the hell did that happen? Wasn't it just the other day we were taking down Christmas lights? Of course, some of us still have our Christmas lights up, and what's wrong with that? Most importantly, Memorial Day marks the beginning of the flesh charring season. Our own at the beach, eating al fresco for the first time all year, and that of many various sluggish mammals who gave their lives so we could raise our cholesterol levels to heights where Sherpas fear to tread on a freshly scrubbed Weber. It means fireworks and lemonade and tires swinging on ropes over rivers and roasted marshmallows and ice cream on sticks that melt down your arm all the way to the elbow. And air conditioning. Some people claim to even find camping relaxing. Good for you. To me, the outdoors is where the car is. Roughing it means basic cable without Turner Classic Movies. You say wilderness, I think spotty cell phone coverage. Our frenzied season of leisure is too shortly destined to evaporate on Labor Day. So hurry on out there and have yourself one terrific summer full of languid days and soft night breezes. May you frolic and cavort and gamble and caper in a madcap series of wacky, zany antics that you remember fondly always. And just try to keep the sand off your hot dog, if you know what I mean. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, and tonight we'll be talking about a national carbon and dividend scheme to reduce pollution and bring some benefits back into the pockets of the citizens.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. A pink coat.